Tripping Balls.
Episode 390.
Coming up on a landmark episode.
We are, but that'll be like, fucking, what, 3 weeks? Three
September.
Months 3 months away. Yeah. Fuck knows where we'll be by then.
Will there even be a world? I'm gonna let you start tonight, Doc. Where would you like to begin?
We'll start with A for Alfie.
A for Alfie.
Alfie Templeman.
So I got sort of Scissor Sister vibes off the sing or
the second song
that turned up. Yeah.
Which is Eyes Wide Shut. And I can definitely see that Scissor Sisters comp. Although, really, what Scissor Sisters and what Alfie Templeman are doing is really just ripping off Fame era David Bowie. You know, it's that kind of. But
which is within.
If you're going to rip off a sound, that's a pretty good sound.
And that's sort of culturally within, you know, if you were a pom growing up 30 years ago, that's probably, you know, a fairly decent influence, you would say.
But he's not. He didn't grow up 30 years ago. Remember, he's a mind-bogglingly gifted young musician who at only 20 can only be described as a bona fide polymath.
Is he only 20? Okay.
Yes.
I forgot Doc does bios.
You forgot that he was a bona fide polymath?
Look, this was okay without being great, I thought.
I didn't suck. It absolutely didn't suck. It reminded me more of like Unknown Mortal Orchestra or like it's certainly white guy R&B. I suppose that's what he means by indie R&B. He means white guy R&B. It feels like a white guy take on like Anderson Park for Childish Gambino style stuff.
Yeah.
And he plays with other stuff. I mean, there's a bit of Jeff Buckley to the final track, which gets a bit, you know, he gets a bit kind of
Whaley
in it and melodic and all that kind of stuff. But most of this album is pretty good.
I think musically it's pretty solid too. Like it's I don't know. I think maybe some more life experience might make this a bit more well-rounded, or maybe it's just, you know, it's a first album or a first big album, and I would definitely check out something that he's going to do in the future. I can sort of see there's pieces of a really interesting artist. I just don't know whether this was all the way there.
The weird thing is this is not his first album, because I think his third album. Forever Isn't Long.
2021, 2022. Yeah,
Mellow Moon and Radio Soul. So, you know, this is...
So he's pumping them out.
He is. So he was... Although he claims that, in his artist pick, he claims that Radio Soul, my second album, is out now. So he's not... He's disclaiming...
Well, it might be an EP. The first one might be an EP.
No, it's 30 minutes. It's 30 minutes. Okay. He's not claiming it. So, but then again, I mean, most 20-year-olds are disavowing shit they did when they were 17. I think so. You know, it's not
Josh Giddy style.
not the people they did who were 17. Things they did when they were 17.
All right. Sorry, this is an important small
technicality. There. Welcome back to our music podcast that is not about basketball. Fuck, this is more basketball than we talked on our last two sporting episodes.
Basketball. Book.
Yes. We only talk about basketball when it's fun to fucking hang shit on. I had the same reaction to this that I'd have to Unknown Mortal Orchestra. The album washes over and I think that was actually really quite pleasant, but it's difficult to pull out individual bits and pieces. I mean, the title track is cool. Eyes Wide Shut is like a level above everything else on it, but it's a very different song. It's a funk banger, which is the rest of the album doesn't really do that. Even the collaboration with Nile Rodgers, who underwrote a lot of that sound in period, doesn't pop quite as well as Eyes Wide Shut. Ironically, Eyes Wide Shut was a collaboration with The Vaccines, the lead singer, lead songwriter from The Vaccines, and it's better than anything on Vaccines' album for a while as well, so maybe they should work together more often.
It's funny that's sticking in your mind, because I can't remember where... I saw something with Clooney going through, you know, sort of his movies, and that
his back catalogue of coffee pod commercials. That's where he does his best work.
And the song that the sirens sing in that, which is just like a gospel song, you know, washing your clothes in the river gospel song. But the melody that it just sticks in your brain. And so all afternoon I was walking around the house whistling, you know, just whistling that to myself. And that's what this album doesn't have. There is nothing that sticks in your brain like that. Now, I understand that bad shit can stick in your brain like that as well as good stuff, but...
Aside from the single, there's not a lot that really welds in. Yeah. And you kind of have to treat that differently, because it's one of these albums where, you know, the single is not representative of the rest of the vibe.
All right. Well, moving on, were you greatly haunted?
This is not a band that suffers from the single not being representative of the vibe. The whole vibe is fairly representative of itself.
Yeah, the vibe is the vibe.
It's extremely clear what the vibe is. The vibe is heavy psych, rock, fucking ooh, spooky, you know, all this kind of thing. And it does mean that there isn't a lot of, like, you don't sort of cherry pick songs out of it going, oh, that one's really good or that one's really good. But the overall fucking vibe works really well. This is my shit, so obviously I think it rips. And it's very silly. You can't take this shit seriously at all. But I do like it a lot. It is a better album than the individual tracks. But yeah, this is definitely my shit. I'm not quite sure how good an album it is, but I enjoyed it a lot.
This is almost like a DJ set. Like, you almost have to consider it as one piece of music with some slower bits in between tracks or something. I don't know if I'm explaining myself very well, but yeah, it's not like, oh, here's three singles and then this is the other stuff. It's just
here are the three songs that got played on the radio, and here are some less successful versions of those songs because that's basically the structure of every pop rock album. We've talked about it on this podcast before with Adam. It's like, even Hysteria, which is one of the most successful pop rock albums in the history of the world, it is that, like, it's just all the singles and then some less successful versions of those singles to pad out the rest of the album.
Yeah, I wonder, because they do have an actual single. I was just having a look.
They do. I think it's probably Bodies Dissolved Tonight or something, is it? Oh.
Out of This Hell is
there. Out of This Hell, yeah.
The one
that
they're promoting as the single.
But the one that got played the most is one of the most plays is Bodies Dissolved Tonight and Miraculous Death. It's cool. I'll enjoy this a lot, but I was always going to. And there's also a New Zealand
much
tax.
More your wheelhouse than mine.
There's also a New Zealand tax, and also a female led two piece tax, because I tend to be partial towards them, because, you know, you go girls, solidarity with women. The last female led two piece we had on this was The Devils. Sort of psychobilly blues rock band from southern Italy. Vaguely similar themes, even if the riffs are slightly differently structured. And it's kind of interesting. They're kind of like an evil timeline Ty Segall, which is appropriate because they're actually on tour with Ty Segall this month in Europe and the UK. And best of luck to them.
Fairly decent tour, I would say. Speaking of which,
it would be, and it would be a good way to access, you know, I think they're going to be a band who is probably bigger than in the rest of the world than they are in New Zealand, because once you've locked into that audience, then that's a very international audience, and they'll be fairly loyal to you, I think.
I enjoyed it, but it was sort of like a one listen to me. It's a bit too buzzy for my palate. I was looking at that. Do you reckon Fiddler would be great live?
I think they would be. So Fiddler or Fiddler, depending on whether you're Richard Fiddler or the band Fiddler, are going to drop a new album. We really liked their 2019 album, Almost Free, and they've done kind of EPs and singles since, but they haven't really done an album. And they are touring Australia in mid-September, so we better hope the world is still around then. And their new album comes out around then as well.
Yeah,
but they are. I think they're touring with the June Rats. With a June Rat. With June Rats. They're not pluralized. A bit like whores from last week. I think June Rats have a particular audience, so I think that would be the kind of audience that you would be, you know, trading sweat with.
Yeah. I almost wonder whether you'd want to have a crack at the new album before you bought a ticket.
Which you couldn't do because it comes out the week afterwards.
The week after, yeah. So it's because it's...
I almost think you'd want to go and see their solo show, because I think they're doing a solo show up the coast before they do a they do a split show with June Rats. And I think I'd rather see them on their own rather than with.
Yeah, that's probably because you're probably going to get more of that first album in that show.
But also, you're going to get less of the June Rats crowd. Yes. Fuck it, feral, snotty 17-year-olds. I don't think you really need that in your life.
So I have a thought exercise for you, Doc.
Okay. I don't like exercise, you know that.
So if we have a range of colours between Richie Beno beige and abdominals, you know, down in the dirt, dirty beats, you know, a bit of authenticity.
Yeah.
Where would you rate the Hockey Dad? I'll throw some colours at you. I'll give you Torp. I'll give you Russet.
How about
Squirrel, which
cream,
is
the white, the off-white, the ivory, or the beige?
Not even. You wouldn't even go You know, sand. Wouldn't even say it's off beige to be sand. Moss. Wouldn't go as far as moss.
I don't think it has as much colour as beige.
It's pretty lightweight.
Probably not being fair to these guys because it's not as though they're doing anything different on this album that they haven't done on previous albums.
And it's not bad. I'm not saying that the music's bad.
No, it's extremely competent. It is interesting that in the Spotify photo, he's wearing a jacket that looks beige. No, it's actually more of a pale slate. On their Spotify, we should have guessed this, because on their Spotify profile photo, they look like two junior real estate flogs on Casual Friday. And the sound is totally boat shoes and linen jacket. That is exactly what the sound is. Gentle, indie-ish, private schoolboy, Triple J pop. The album's called Rebuild Repeat. It's much more repeat than rebuild. It's not in any way offensive. The dude has a lovely voice. He really likes being the center of attention with it. And I've run out of things to say about it. It's same as it ever was. This is exactly what they've always sounded like. And always what's frustrated by me is that they've got it. They make pretty noises, but their songs don't really have much to them.
There's some interesting musicality sort of. Like, it wasn't a guy strumming a guitar, an acoustic guitar at a party sort of level of beige, but it just sort of washes over you.
Yeah, it really does wash past without kind of leaving any particular mark.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, man, I just can't grasp onto anything. Yeah.
I'm going to look up whether it, because the last album was the number 2 album in Australia, and I wonder whether, actually, I'm not even going to bother looking. I assume this album is selling its, or the equivalent of selling its ass off. Oh, you can buy it in cream vinyl. Is that beige enough for you? And it's, and of course, it's on Triple J's Best New Music of the Week.
Of course.
Best of luck to them, and I hope their next open house goes well. I have to say, this is the least Jokerific album we've ever done on the podcast.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty ordinary.
Yeah, there was definitely not much. It wasn't a lot of risks taken. Nothing was ventured, and very little was gained. But it's fine, you know, if you like your food chewed up for you, and then so you don't have to chew through any lumpy bits, then this might be for you.
I think we've done that album, so let's not pick that one.
What's the album that we've done?
We've done that Sprints album, haven't we?
Yeah, first album we did this year.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why it was so long ago. Shouty Irish people.
Mm.
Do you have an album in the chamber, or do you need me to pick something?
Yeah, no, I am going to go with this. It's a little bit unusual. It's a little bit of a...
It's Tom Jones?
Like a 60s vibe, I guess.
It is Tom Jones.
but I guess it grabs me because it's this big, you know, it's got that big, bigger band sound, and they're called The Tibbs.
Ice! Not that Tibbs?
Not that Tibbs.
How do you spell Tibbs?
Keep it to yourself, which is definitely not a Tibbs thing. T-I-B-B-S.
Keep it to yourself by... Oh.
The Tibbs.
Yes, The Tibbs.
12 song.
It does look very... The cover looks very, you know, Criterion Collection compilation, yes, kind of shit.
Well, actually, it reminds me a lot of... I got, you know, one of those CDs on the front cover of a music magazine, yeah, where just when lounge was starting to...
Yeah.
To be a thing, and there was a whole heap of, like, really, really good bands doing lounge covers.
Yeah. Well, that was post fucking Swingers, wasn't it?
Probably.
Swingers,
yeah,
or singles? Swingers, yeah. Swingers and singles were not the same movie.
No, not the same style.
It does have that kind of look to it, and that kind of cutout 60s artwork, but also it has the look of, like, one of those double albums you used to buy in a bargain bin that was, like, two albums from the same act that were very popular in the mid-90s. What's the, yes, Tibbs story, apart from Ice and all that kind of shit, and playing his players too many minutes? They are touring Europe, and by Europe, I mean places like Eindhoven and Zaragoza, so they're obviously not you know, doing the big stuff. Tibbs is a group of seasoned musicians who draw inspiration from the timeless music of the 1960s, channeling the emotional depth and the raw authenticity of that era's classic. So this makes me feel like it's going to be more... not James Brown sort of soul, but more, I'm trying to think of an example. Yeah, I can't think of one. Tom Jones. More Tom Jones.
Yeah, some, like, you know, I wouldn't mind some more James Brown sort of stuff. James Brown stuff was pretty good.
Well, yeah, and I found out when I was reading the thing, doing background reading for this episode, because looking up when Fame came out by David Bowie, and I didn't realize it was as early as 1975. Yeah. And he'd kind of lifted a James Brown riff to do it. So then James Brown turned around and lifted the exact riff from Fame and released it as his own song. Because in those days, that was kind of the, you know, that was shortly after Led Zeppelin had basically ripped off every Southern blues act in the history of the world and never actually paid anybody anything until much later in their career. And the same with the Stones. So there is a James Brown song out there with the same riff of David Bowie's Fame. So
it was a different time.
It was a different time. You could do what you wanted. No, you couldn't get the samples cleared.
Nope.
So the Tibbs.
Not even close.
Is Bezos' the album Tibbs. Of the week. My album of the week is not going to sound like 60s Soul. It is going to sound like Fu Manchu because it's a new album by Fu Manchu.
Funny that.
Yes. And all you need to do to sell me on an album of Fu Manchu is to say it's going to sound like Fu Manchu, who were godfathers of the desert rock sound. And we are looking forward to Troy Kingy's next album, which has basically been recorded in the famous desert rock studio that Dave Catching runs with a lot of those sorts of influences. So I don't expect it to sound like, you know, Caius or fucking, you know, anything like that. But it could be quite fun. There is a series on TVNZ that I keep meaning to watch, which is basically just a short making of. It's basically an hour documentary, I think, that they split into short installations. But the new album is called The Return of dot, dot, dot. Return of Tomorrow, sorry. There was just, there was no dot, dot, dot. It was just the preview you couldn't fit all the words in. And the lead single off that is called Hands of the Zodiac, and it sounds like fucking Fu Manchu. Massive riffs and just cool shit. Return of Tomorrow is Fu Manchu's first album since in about 6 years. We did do the last album, and that was about, must have been about 2018. So this should be fun. And if it's not fun, you can ask for your money back.
Well, I definitely don't have the joke of this week, Doc.
So you don't think so? I want to say Archie. Archie Templeman was okay. He was okay.
Alfie, but I was more like
The Joker is the Joker. I mean, obviously, it wasn't a very good Joker. It failed at being a Joker, but it succeeded in being an album, I suppose. I do have a Joker pick, and it's very much in the spirit of Joker picks. I have a band who I'd like to pick based on the fact that they did a new theme song for my favorite hockey podcast, which is Puck Soup with Sean McIndoe and Ryan Lambert. They used to have this kind of jokey kind of theme song, and then this band called Joywave recorded an intro for it, and they're kind of Brooklyn-y, jangle, new wave kind of post-punk sounds. And we've had plenty of acts like that in the past. I mean, Bodega we had more recently, although that last Bodega album kind of sucked. It wasn't as good as the album. They're more originals relatively recently. But I'm interested to hear what Joywave sound like, because apparently they're actually a really popular large band. So I don't know what the fuck they are doing recording fucking theme songs for slightly niche hockey podcast, although this is a very long running one. It was one that was on Grantland back in the day. And they are a band that likes to take the piss a little bit. I mean, the last song on their album is called Here to Perform the Final Song from their album Permanent Pleasure. Please welcome Joywave.
That's the name of
That's the song title.
That's Ugly Duckling.
That is
sort of areas that is.
Yeah, they are definitely being quite fun with it, yes. You can't tell from their bio, which literally just says the new album is out in May. And we have singles.
All right. Well, that's probably a nice little, cross-section of music.
Yes. We'll have to see whether they actually sound like the 10 seconds of jangly chords that they use for the intro to fucking Puck Soup.
Well, the funny thing was, I was going through last year, the Shawzy soundtrack to, like, see if there was any jazz.
We have had a lot of hockey-influenced music, haven't we? And fucking AD, was it the Pack AD and various other bands like that?
Yeah. Metric, I think. We did Metric.
Yeah.
Came out of that as well. But the thing with Shawzy is that whoever the musical director is in that is really good at finding the 20 seconds that sound awesome to highlight a scene in a hockey rink. And then the actual song or album is not necessarily the representative of the way that they use it cinematically. And I was like, that's a real skill, right, to find a break. And I guess it's a little bit similar to, you know, a hip-hop artist that can find a break that they catch something in a song that might not necessarily be the best and turn it into something that's awesome.
Or just a little throwaway bit that they've gone, I want that bit, I'm going to loop that. And I've always, and this is why, you know, it's a shame that the golden era of hip hop, in terms of, you know, sample clearance, has killed that stuff, because that itself is a musical skill. You know, yeah. Knowing how to recognize and repurpose stuff in a totally different context. I mean, literally, what killed it really was taking entire fucking 60s pop songs and literally just going, yeah, 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 yo, yo, yo over it.
Mm.
Fucking Puff Daddy, I'm looking at you, you cunt. But people, when they're actually just taking little bits and loops and breaks and shit and fucking them up and making them essentially totally different and creating a totally different outcome from the original song. Yeah, that was really cool. And that's gone now. That's never coming back.
There's a really good one kicking around the internet of Daft Punk, like breaking down Daft Punk's One More Time and like the samples and that. And like that's single note samples.
Mm.
You know, so he's listening to this old funk song and going, oh, I really like that sound. And I like that sound. And how about I put him in a sampler and I go, bah. You know, it's like the conceptual, like to be able to take, conceptualize that from, you know, hearing a single chord in a song is not plagiarism.
No.
It's just, that is musical creation. If it was plagiarism, everybody be able to do it that well.
Using bits of music as instruments themselves. The bits of music are the instruments. Yeah, I always think of the flute riff in Sure Shot. It's like, where did the fuck did you think that was, you know, how did you get from there to there? How did you get from that flute bit to the song that they ended up with?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Cool. All right, Toc. Lovely to talk to you. Thanks for doing it on a Sunday night. And
we don't tell people when we record the music episode, because we record it on Thursday morning or Wednesday night, because that's how fresh Wednesday it is. Night, when it appears in your thread, we only just recorded it. This definitely hasn't sat as a file on a desktop for 3 days before it's been looked at. That's definitely not happening.
Fresh, fresh, tasty beats.
Yes.
All right.
Fresh attire. Oh, he said goodbye. Oh, good night, folks.
Sorry, I was just thinking, I'm going to be silent after that. That's a nice little edit point.
Yes.
All right.
That's another Beastie Boys line. Get that fresh attire. I can't remember what that's from. That's from a song. None of this is getting in the podcast. Go home. Go to bed.
I'm going to do that because people want upstairs back. All right. Thanks, Doc.
All right, cheers.
I'll talk to you later.
Cheers, man.
I'm Ryan Lambert from Elite Prospects.
I'm Sean McNair from The Athletic.
And folks, the Florida Panthers, they did it. They didn't blow, I guess, they just didn't blow it.
Yeah.
They didn't do it, I guess.
They didn't complete
they did not do it.
The worst collapse in possibly team sports history. Certainly NHL history.
Oh, I think it would have been history. For sure, yeah.
I mean...